Hey everyone, welcome to another Scale Logic podcast. With me as always, Mr. Bob Herzan. Bob, how you doing today?
Never better. How are you doing?
Good. And just so everyone's wondering who I am, I'm Scott Williams. I'm the other partner in crime with Bob that does these podcasts. So here we go. So here's the topic we chose for today, because I think this needs maybe clarification, maybe a rant. Maybe we should open up some scotch and have a glass over this, because there seems to be a lot of talk or confusion or focus on this, which is, I'll call it, in the area of data protection. I think at times that denotes everything from what some people may think, which is, you know, backing up your data to make sure nothing happens to it, all the way through to, I don't know, maybe somebody standing there with a AR-15 guarding a server stack somewhere. Who knows? But it is what it is. So Bob, let's go into this as far as, you know, the folks that come and listen to this podcast and who we work with in the media and entertainment industry. Let's start by defining, I guess, like, data protection unto itself. Please educate us.
I'll do the best I can, but it's just anything and everything, Scott. Data protection is the number one concern, or should be the number one concern, of any facility, that data is so important that their business cannot continue, and or the loss of financial revenue coming in by not having access to that data is imperative to their business. So from a data protection standpoint, it starts out with having a good infrastructure in place, and then build your policies around that infrastructure. So as your data is coming in, what happens to that data once it hits your server farm and your storage? Do you have a second instance? Do you have a third instance? Do you do a backup? Do you have an archive? Then you can roll into other areas of potential disasters that would allow you to move your people off site and continue to get access to your data, or to be able to complete and work your standard workflows to getting your practices done.
So there's an interesting one, right? So, like you mentioned, kind of like moving people off site. And that's one of those things, those practices, those that to me harken back to a day, I guess, you know, I mean, this is like, you know, a lifetime ago, it seems. But I remember, you know, 20 years ago, I worked for a massive financial institution, and the concept of that alternate location in case of disaster for disaster recovery was a big thing. And then we saw disaster recovery sort of morph, I guess, over time. And this is probably like along the lines of, you know, when cloud was introduced, or just, you know, even if it's like on-prem solutions, but being able to, you know, use multiple premises for on-prem stuff and backup, those kind of things. And it kind of morphed into this like business continuity thing. Like, where do you see that, I guess, evolutionary stage for our industry? Like, is it still, you know, looking like it's, you know, like alternate location? Now, obviously there's alternate locations as of today, because it's, you know, everybody seems to be still working from home during what's been happening lately. But like, is that a thing? Is it people, like, do they still have like, okay, like we've got some warehouse somewhere where we're going to start carting in, you know, servers and desktops and workstations and those kind of things, and set up, you know, those foldable tables in a giant room and get people back to work? Or is it just, you know, because that still denotes also downtime, because that is the something happened. Now we're recovering from something happened that could be anywhere from hours, days, weeks, months. Then there's all the way through, obviously, to the business continuity, which in theory, I guess, in how it's even worded and the, you know, the name of it is the continuation of business. Mm-hmm. So where do you see that evolutionary stage at the moment?
So, first off, I think, as I talk with a lot of our customers, DR is on everybody's mind, especially in 2020. Prior to that, it was a nice to have, and those that had enough money would do it because it's basically the current DR plan is that you duplicate everything. So you have duplicate servers, duplicate workstations, duplicate applications, and potentially a duplicate facility somewhere that you can house people short term while you get through your disaster. The reality of that is, 90% of the industry can't afford that. So the future would look like a hybrid model of doing the appropriate things on-prem with a replication of data off-prem, data center, another office building, whatever you have. And then there's a lot of tools out there these days that are spinning up in the cloud that could allow people to run applications on the cloud and get to their data and, do renders, do edits. It might not be as smooth as what they're used to on-prem, but they could get their work done. The broadcast industry is another one that's moving a lot of that play out into the cloud. And so the fact of the matter is a good portion of that hardware that they depend on to distribute their content potentially will have a huge disaster recovery plan already because everything's going to be out in the cloud and out into multiple data centers.
So one of the things you mentioned too, and this is kind of an interesting one, is you mentioned policy, and it's interesting how policy is becoming, I will say, even more ingrained in corporate culture than ever before. Like I know it's like, you know, I mean, there's even policy that in and around now, like weird things, like, I mean, different topic entirely, but it kind of shows the direction, right? It's like cybersecurity and even around IoT devices and what can and can be on a network and all those types of things. And it's really seems to be like more than ever people focused on that sense, because it's still people that manage all of this. And having those policies in place are obviously so imperative to ensure proper disaster recovery, business continuity, those kind of things. It like how in your experience, like, I mean, dealing with our customers, because you see sort of the boots on the ground side of things. How are people handling the creation, implementation, and governance of policy in kind of this new digital age?
Not very well.
This is where we all pour some more scotch into the glass and go, okay, let's keep going.
No, I mean, I say that, half-heartedly. There's a wide variety of customers, and like I said, your big guys, they can afford the equipment, they can afford, having multiple tiers of their storage, they can have multiple copies of their storage, they've got IT administrators, and so they will, they put all the effort in there
Well,
to.
then you also have the risk and compliance folks, and you have the business analysts and everything else,
Yeah,
right?
but the fact of the matter is that, the customer base we're talking about, you've got your big guys and your giants out there that can afford to do all this stuff. And then you got your small to mid-sized companies that, they're creatives, they're not ITs. And so they need extra help in thinking through that plan for the prevention of data being lost. And you got to educate them on all the reasons why. I mean, the number one reason why is if you lose that data and you have to go down and reshoot it, what is that going to cost you? Or could you even reshoot it? Was it a one of a kind type shoot? So that's the first thought process that they've got. And then from there, the content itself is just growing, and the need to keep that content continues to grow. So now we're talking about, small to mid-sized shops that are running half a petabyte, petabyte, multiple petabytes worth of data, that they need to not only manage and understand what it is, where it is, and how to get it, but then have that second copy, that third copy of it, to allow them to support any type of disaster that might happen on prem or even off prem where they've got the replication.
Well, let's, you know, so yeah, like, I mean, this is the thing that I find personally terrifying, right? Is that, and it's exactly the thing that you said, where what if this was a one of a kind shoot? Or what if the, you know, or it's just, you know, the shoot cost a ridiculous amount of money, and whoever is, you know, in that footage and scheduling and timelines and all those kind of things. And it's, this reverberates far past even, you know, I'll call it the project timeline, which is terrifying enough, right? It's like, if you lose a whole bunch of footage and you need to go reshoot, or you're responsible for the cost of that reshoot, that is, the financial implications of that are could be, you know, monumental. But then on top of that, you also have the, I'll call it, like, you know, the brand damage aspect, right? Like, suddenly it's like, if you have, like, you know, multiple customers and you're doing, you know, the production for multiple customers even, and you have somehow, a disaster has wiped you out, and you don't have that data protection policy and procedural stuff and technology in place, that alone could, you know, that reverberates through an industry so quickly that you could be overnight out of business.
High percentage that you may go out of business.
And there's some numbers around that as well. Like, I mean, what is it like, you know, like something like, and look, I'm kind of, you know,
it's a very high percentage. It's something like 60-70%.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah. They just never come back.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
and with our customers, I mean, it's one thing to lose the data, you know, and maybe the data could be recreated or not, but the damage that is done in the client relationship is the ultimate. I mean, this client is a revenue stream coming into you, and if you've lost his data, ruined his shoot, ruined his time frame, there's a great chance that he's not going to come back to you ever again. He's not going to listen to that excuse that you lost my data.
Right. Well, yeah, because in this day and age, too, is that, and this is a weird one, right, is that we live in such a time that technology, I'll say, unto itself is just expected, if you know what I mean. Like, it's, you know, I was talking about this with some friends the other night at dinner, oddly enough, where it was just how, you know, like, I'll call it like the consumer side of things. And this was in and around, like, you and I were joking before this podcast, is that, you know, we always make sure that all our devices are shut off and all our unified communication stuff is shut off and everything. And it's, you know, on a daily basis, like, I'll just, you know, say, okay, like, you like Apple products. We'll just say that, because you and I both have, you know, MacBook Pros and iPhones and that kind of stuff. And it's, so let's talk about backup and that unto itself from a consumer expectation perspective, right? Is that, you look at, you know, okay, your phone, you have your, you know, you're just a consumer. All of your data is being backed up to iCloud automatically all the time. It's not a thing. It's just, you know, here it is. It's done. So it's like, you take that from that expectations perspective. It may seem completely, you know, weird to say that, where it's like, you know, what does an iPhone or iCloud have to do with, you know, backup and recovery for a business? But it's, if something is as easy as a mobile device to back up your photos and email and all that kind of stuff, that's an expectation that everybody has because it's just there. It's out of the box. If you were to go back to a customer and say, hey, yeah, by the way, like, I lost your data, sorry, they're going to look at you like you're wearing a toaster on your head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, what? What? How do you lose data in this day and age? How? How would that ever happen? And it's, but it is weird, as you said, right? Where it's like, a lot of companies kind of struggle with that backup scenario, or maybe never even think of it, which is even more frightening, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. So it's like, when how you see it, like, I mean, how many companies are kind of even not thinking about it? Yeah.
Well, and it's not even not thinking about it. Like you said, you know, doing a backup nowadays is, you know, simple. It should be built into your workflow. and it should work all the time. And if it's not working, you should be notified so that you can fix it. Now, backup is one thing. The thing that really gives a person peace of mind is to be able to have policies in place that not only backs up the data, but also takes snapshots, you know, snap of a place and time of that data.
Yeah.
This is major because there's all kinds of things that can happen to your facility with, you know, different viruses and malware and all these things going on, you know, getting through the firewalls. And so if something did happen, or maybe it's employee driven, you know, and an employee deletes a bunch of stuff that shouldn't have been deleted, that's probably the most popular one that happens.
And that's just human error, by the way. Like,
exactly.
Not, you know, like this isn't one of those like malicious, you know, kind of.
And know. Or it's a malicious employee that got let go.
Well, it could be too.
Whatever the reason, you need to be able to go to a certain time and point and bring back your data to that timestamp. And so that's a lot of the stuff that people don't think about, you know, taking care of these snapshots and doing it in appropriate time slots throughout the day and evening in order to be able to revert back an hour, 3 hours or 6 hours. That to me is one of the most important pieces because the backup itself and restore is easy. If you're doing appropriate archives, you can go back, you know, weeks, months, years. But it's those things that happen during the day that need you to go back just a few hours that you want to be able to do immediately.
And that's an interesting point too, right? Is that like a lot of the times, like we'll go back to that like policy kind of scenario, is that I never thought I'd hear myself say this because it's like, you know, I don't think anybody likes paperwork or process mapping or like, but it's, I mean, it really is incredibly important. And it's, you know, having that plan in place and the understanding in place that says, okay, everyone, our, you know, one, if we have to recover from something, we have set a goal, a KPI, a, you know, so that this isn't days, weeks, months, because it can't be. Like in this day and age, it can't be. Everything is moving, you know, literally at the quote unquote speed of business, which is, you know, just runs at a ridiculous pace in this day and age. But then it's also understanding the hierarchical values of the types of data and what needs to be quote unquote restored and up and working in a certain timeline, right? It's that like, what is the most important versus least important? And you mentioned like, hey, you know, it's like we have archives that go back 10 years. Okay. Well, a project that we worked on 9 years ago. Well, if we don't get that back in the next week or two, and it takes like a little longer to pull that out and, you know, peace. But it's like, there's a right here, right now scenario. And like, are there certain timelines that you're seeing that like, say that the, you know, our customers that do it right, like they're like, yeah, guys, like this is, you know, we want to take snapshots. It's every couple hours and we want to be able to recover this type of data first. Like, what are some of the timelines, KPIs, I'll call it goals set around that you see on an average basis that is the best practice, industry standard, those kind of timelines?
I don't know if there's a standard per se. You look at a client, you look at his hours of operation. You know, some of these guys work all the way into the wee hours of the morning. And it's not very intrusive to do these snapshots. You know, it'll take up some capacity within your storage, but that's even gotten a lot better where it's not to the point where you're duplicating or anything like that. Yeah. So process is simple. More is better. You know, doing it more often is better. But I'd say most of the clients we see probably within a 2 to 4 hour increment, they're doing a snapshot.
Okay. Because then it's like that really means that it's like, okay, if like, you know, the worst happens, and it's frustrating because let me tell you, it's happened to all of us, right? You're working on some file and suddenly something goes sideways. You're like, did I just lose 4 hours worth of work? Wow, this, yep. It's going to be 4.5 hours because I'm leaving for 30 minutes to get a coffee and swear in the backyard for however long it takes to, you know, get the frustration out. But yeah, so it's like if that's the case, right? I mean, that's something that is at least tolerable, I will say. It's not fun, even 4 hours, even 2 hours, an hour, 30 minutes is, you know, that's a lot of work sometimes that can be lost, but it's not something that's so devastating that you're going to lose your company over it. Here's a question for you, because you mentioned, like, you know, like the cyber side of things, and that's, you know, obviously cybersecurity is huge on everyone's minds. We also talked about, you know, before we started the podcast, we used the kind of legal term of like force majeure that you see in, you know, insurance policies all the time, which is that, you know, fire, flood, tornado, hurricane, you know, kind of natural disaster stuff. But in this day and age, like, I mean, you know, what truly constitutes a disaster? Because I think maybe that's like one of those things that I know personally, like, I've never liked the term disaster recovery, only because I kind of prefer business continuity, maybe from, like, I'll call it the philosophical side of things, which I think is more what we're really talking about today anyway, is that, you know, you're recovering so quickly, even though that may be 4 hours, the business continues as opposed to shuts down for, you know, a lengthier timeline, and then you have to recover from that. But what is a disaster? Like, we've mentioned a couple even today, right? It's like, okay, so there's a cyber attack. Okay, companies deal with these daily. God knows, like, I mean, anybody that's interested, just go Google the number of cyber attacks in 2020 alone, and then the number is, you know, it's jaw-droppingly high. Yeah. But then you mentioned, like, yeah, sometimes it's somebody that, you know, accidentally deleted something. Is that not a disaster, right? Is it? And like I said, like,
disaster is in the eye of the beholder, I guess, and how much stress they can take.
Right. Well, here's an interesting story. Like, I've often told this because a friend of mine works for, it was a telephony company of all things. So, but, you know, same kind of thing, like the business continuity, disaster recovery kind of thing. And they had landed a new customer, because this is back in the day of, you know, people trying to be their own phone company and having, you know, a PBX sitting in a closet somewhere. But here's the disaster that no one would ever think of. Because, again, I think, like, people think of disasters, these big things, right? It's like fires and tornadoes and these kind of things. That particular afternoon, everybody's just hanging out at work, doing what they do, and whatever happened upstairs in a completely different business in this office building, a toilet overflowed, of all things. And the water made its way down to whatever HVAC system and started pouring out through the ceiling and went right down through a server stack that they had sitting in their kind of their back server room slash closet slash thing. And wiped out everything. Like, it just poured in and fried it.
That's a shitty thing to happen to anybody.
Right? Ba-doom-tsh. People, you come for the content, but you stay for the humor. I'm telling you.
There you go.
But that's, you know, it's to that point, right, where I think a lot of the times, like, people have that it could never happen to me, maybe, thought process, right? Like, because you think of, like, well, a earthquake. Well, I don't live in an earthquake zone. Well, I don't care. Fire, like, I mean, that seems weird. Like, why, you know, how many businesses really burn down a year? Probably, I mean, I don't know the number. I you know, I haven't done research, but I don't think it's so much that you see giant office buildings getting, you know, torn down after massive fires all the time. And it's, but I think that, like, is the mindset at times, right? Where it's the, you know, it could never happen. I mean, same thing with cyber attacks, right? It's that, oh, that's for big companies that matter, or, you know, those kind of things. But no one thinks of, one, I mean, cyber attacks under themselves can be absolutely devastating to even the smallest of companies. And in fact, I know that small companies get hit by them constantly, and a lot of the times also don't have the ability to thwart that kind of scenario. But what is it, you know, like, I've also heard stories where somebody just accidentally spilled a cup of coffee into a machine. Is that not a disaster? Right. So it's,
it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, it's also, I think, like, the important thing is here is for, you know, for those listening, is that it's, as as you said, right? I mean, disaster is in the eye of the beholder. What constitutes a disaster and what are you willing to lay your bets on? I guess, you know, it's like, yeah, peace. If you think that, you know, you're never going to be wiped out by a tornado because there's no such thing as tornadoes in the part of the world where you live, peace. People drink coffee pretty much everywhere, and that can pour into a machine pretty quickly just by absolute ridiculous mistake. And I'm talking even, I have seen even and heard of stories of that in like what has happened in what you would consider like, you know, close to tier one data center kind of scenarios. I even had once a friend of mine who owned a company that they had a kind of like a hosted model where their servers were in a data center, mm-hmm. and somebody just grabbed the wrong server out of the rack and wiped it. They thought they were grabbing some other company's gear and grabbed theirs and shut their entire company down in the course of minutes.
There's a million examples, I'm sure, of different disasters, and you could probably put it into the same category as hurricanes. You know, what level of disaster are you at? Is it a one, a two, a three, a four, a five? Bottom line is a disaster starts, most likely starts in a data center with data loss that is so important that it's causing revenue to decline.
And the cause is irrelevant.
Yep, doesn't matter. So that to me is the beginning of a disaster. It's got nothing to do with coffee, toilets, hurricanes, fires, or floods. I've lost data. I cannot bill, and it's costing me tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions of dollars. Yeah. So you got to figure out what you can afford and then justify the process of backing up, snapshotting, archiving, and getting that data outside of your facility so that it's accessible in some other way. So you're covering all of your bases. So we usually educate our clients on what we call a 3-2-1 policy. It's very simple. You need to have three copies of your data. You need to do it on two different technologies, and you should make sure that one of those copies is off premise, off site. And if you can do that, you've probably covered yourself for most scenarios that are going to happen in a disaster to make sure that you don't have data loss.
And to sum it up, because we're you know pretty much at our time today, we want to make sure that we always respect people's, you know, keep these to about 30 minutes. Where do people start? What's the best way?
You start with a pen and paper or your laptop, and you have to really look at what you've got for a workflow in place and what data is absolutely important to your livelihood, and then consult with the appropriate people and let them know this data can't go away. Please give me my options. And there's lots of different options out there. There's very simple options. There's very complicated options. It really depends on your workflow. So, you know, talk to people that do this all day long. Don't think you can just go up and Google it and figure it all out. You want to make sure that it's bulletproof, rock solid.
This is literally the equivalent of don't go to WebMD.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Bob, as always, thanks for your time. Thanks to the listeners. And hey, anyone that is listening to this, obviously, I would assume you're on our website. If you want to ask questions, you've got, you know, you'd like to talk to one of our experts, please like call us, email us. The team is here for you. And until next time, Bob, it's been a pleasure as always.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott. Have a good weekend.